Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 95 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. We're recording today on a sunny, relatively smoke-free day here in Duluth, which is nice that the levels are tolerable.
Not too bad.
Currently, yeah.
Hot.
It is warm. Yeah. I haven't really been outside a whole lot in the last almost week now because of the intense heat and then the smoke. So, what, I don't know, 80, 82, whatever it is outside feels pretty darn warm to me at this point.
Yeah.
And it's sunny. So.
In the sun, yeah. But, like, I'll take the heat all day compared to the smoke. That is just nasty.
100%.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we could talk about wildfire smoke all day, and maybe we will, but should we just hop right into some race results, Tony?
All right.
All right. Let's start with the Grandma's Marathon. We'll just go through some of the overall winners here. First place, Emmanuel Messel with a 2:11:21. And then, three-time champion? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yep. Dakota Poppin with a 2:28:51. In the non-binary category, Zoe Vivid, Via Vatine, 2:38:09. And then with the half marathon, the winner there was Acer Iverson with a 1:01:15. On the female side, Cassandra Parker with a 1:10:16. And then non-binary champion, Joe Morris, 1:50:21. And then finally, on the Grandma's Weekend, we had winners streaming in from the 5K. Mason Shee, I believe, also a multiple-time champion there, 15:48. Mackenzie Myran, 18:06. I believe Mackenzie is also a multiple-time champion in the 5K.
Yep.
And then for the female, 18:06. And then Lado Mueller, 21:36 in the non-binary category. So 2,523 finishers in the 5K. Not too bad there. A couple days later, another local 5K race. This one at midnight is the Midnight Sun Midnight Run. Overall winner there, Gavin Greshwack, 16:33. Amber Gursky took the win in the female category with a 21:13. And there were 281 finishers at the Midnight Sun Midnight Run. Moving right along, we have so many races coming up here. So race results coming in from the Dragon Tail 5 Mile. The overall champion there is Maverick Allholm with a 29:51. Kevin Mack, second place, 30:34. Madeline Arpin took the win with a 35:27 on the female side. Shannon Hogan, previous Duluth Rundown interview subject, took second place in the female category with a 36:08. And then the non-binary champion is Spalding McGringleberry with a 46:39, 249 finishers out in Lake Nebagamon. On the same day, we had results coming in from the Sawdust 5K, 255 finishers there. Tyler Augustine took the overall win, with a 16:49. Emily Olesiak, 19 years old, took the women's overall time with a 19:03. A couple days after that, the YMCA Sidewalk Shuffle 5K, Jordan Grunes took the win, 16:48, commanding win on the men's side. On the women's side, Emily Wortman took the win with a 20:14. Emily's on a rip right now. Mm-hmm. 280 finishers there. Oh, let's just check the team results too. The champion team was the RSM Ledger Legends. So who knew that accountants could run fast, I guess. Just kidding. But to all the accountants back there, we all know you can run fast. Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon, a couple days after that, previously known as the Half Voyager, put on by the NMTC folks. 220 finishers on a hot day for Eugene Curnow. Previous Duluth Rundown interview subject, Ben Cogger, took the win with a 3:27.04. Aggressive win for Benjamin there. 11 minutes back was John Velez, also a previous Duluth Rundown interview.
Yep.
Person with 3:38.38. Emily Wortman, who is on a rip right now, absolute rip, took a commanding lead as well in the women's category with a 4:18.02. And then Samantha Fry took the win in the non-binary category with 7:09.56. Okay, we still have more. Wait, there's more. The Chief France Red Run 5K was yesterday as we recorded this July 18th. Let's see, 58 finishers there. This was shortened. Apparently, I don't exactly know why. Tom Rolick took the win at the Red Run with 11:03 on a shortened course. Then Amanda Carlson took the win on the female side with a 14:07. And then finally, the Run with the Hounds 5K. Awesome second year event up at Snowflake. We talked about it a few times because, Tony, you're the race director.
Co-race director, kind of.
So winner there, Owen Blastic, with an 18:05. And then Kalia Carr took the win with a 25:26. Actually, Kalia and second place, Morgan Wood, it was a neck-and-neck finish. Mm-hmm. But then as we're looking at the chip results, Kalia
got the W.
Yeah, six seconds.
Yeah.
So on the at the line, we had to review the video footage. How was their timing?
Yeah.
Do you want to speak to the people, Tony? How did the race go yesterday? What comments can you
say? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We lucked out with the weather. I had mentioned to the people at the race that 24 hours prior, three of us gathered at Snowflake, and I was pretty much convinced that we were not going to have the race. In fact, I said, I don't think we should do it. And we talked more about it, and we were looking at the kind of the AQI forecast, and it was looking good. And so then I thought, okay, well, so then we have to just trust this forecast,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. 24 hours out, I think, feel like that's not such a shot in the dark to trust that.
Yeah.
And then we were also thinking, if we do try to postpone the race and reschedule, it gets hard to get everybody. Like, the summers are busy, and
oh yeah,
we know we felt like our numbers would have been extremely low had we tried to reschedule it for something else. So we kept it as it is.
Yeah,
went for it, and it worked out great. It was actually one of the more nicer mornings we've had in quite some time.
Right.
It was really good. Maybe a touch humid, but it's always humid in the mornings in the summertime.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great. Course was in really good shape.
Yeah.
People had a lot of fun, and we gave away a lot of pies.
I think
we had like 17 pies that we gave away.
Wow.
Something like that.
I ate several cookies.
Nice. Yeah. And, tons of cookies.
Yeah. There's smiles everywhere. It was awesome. Kind of family fun event.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So put that on your checklist for next year, mid July. Moving right along to upcoming races. Not quite. I feel like we kind of got over our hump of lots of races just that early July. Mm-hmm. They're coming in hot and heavy, but we still have plenty of options. In all distances, starting next weekend with the Carlton Days 5K. Let's see, what day is that? That would be the 24th. That's Friday, July 24th in Carlton. And then the very next day is the Voyager 50-mile trail ultra marathon. Those are both in Carlton. It's Carlton Days, which is a really fun kind of street celebration type deal too. So if you're not doing anything, want to find some excitement, especially if you want to get a run in, check out Carlton next weekend. A couple weeks after that, or rather the next weekend on Sunday, is the Brewhouse Triathlon, a classic triathlon locally here in Duluth, so check that out. Actually, the day before, I forgot, I'll be race timing up the North Shore, so that's maybe worthy mention as well, the Fisherman's Picnic.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool race at the at Pincushion Ski Trails.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a drive, but check that out as well on the
classic woods race that's been going on a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's on August 1st, Saturday in the morning. Week after that, so that'd be the second weekend in August. That's the 7th and the 8th. There's a smorgasbord of relatively shorter trail running races. There's a hill climb on the Friday, and then a 4, 8 and like 14 mile, a couple, you know, sub marathon distance trail runs at Spirit Mountain on the Saturday, which is the 8th. So Summit North is now part of the Duluth Trails Festival, so the date is bumped up in the month a little bit earlier, and it's meant to correspond with the Bike Duluth Festival and a bunch of different races and events and stuff. So I think that's a good move, and that's going to be really fun, just like
a
bigger festival atmosphere, more different ways to participate, I guess. The Kristen Burkholder 5K is in Esco, and that is on August 8th, 2026 as well. That's a Saturday. And we also have the Dave Hyla Memorial 5K. This is in Proctor, Minnesota. That is a Saturday. Let's see, Saturday the 15th of August at 9 a.m. And then finally, the last event that we have coming up is the Ragnar Road, Minnesota. I don't believe you can hop into that one at this point, probably, but that starts in St. Paul, and then it ends here in Duluth. So might be a fun thing to watch if you happen to be. I know in the past it's finished right down the road here at Leif Erickson Park.
Correct, yeah.
We'll see, but
yep.
Yeah, plenty of events, plenty of road runs coming up, so take a peek at the calendar. And then moving right along, trail conditions. I've noticed, been out on the trails lots actually, and they're certainly dry, great shape. It's hot out there. It's, you know, a little bit buggy and overgrown. So definitely noticing, even in Hartley, I was there yesterday, the flies were kind of on me a little bit. I had a little sliver in my sock and I pulled over, and mosquitoes weren't horrible, but the bugs are out. But even in areas like locally in town, I've noticed it just gets overgrown so fast. But up the shore, even on these like popular sections, and especially on more unpopular sections, it is overgrown.
Yeah,
for sure. So
yeah,
I would just, if you're going up on the trail, be prepared for itchy plants touching you.
Yeah,
if you're sensitive to that type of thing. I don't know. It was like really hot and humid, so I can't tell what it was, but just going through some brush, and then my legs are just beet red and like welts and like itchy like crazy. So I don't know. Yeah, it's just that time of the year, I suppose.
Maybe you got some poison ivy or something. Who knows?
Maybe. I mean, it went away
in
the day.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
That's just me. You know, it's like some type of plant just
irritates
my skin and gets all itchy and stuff. It's just like grass, you know, really. But
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so something to be mindful of there. Otherwise, I mean, now is the time to get on the trail. Like, this is what I think of with trail running. Like, the hot, the humid, you're in just like a green tunnel. And it's kind of my favorite, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, as trail conditions, let's move right along in a somewhat similar subject. Coach's Corner, what do you got for the people?
So, yeah, you and I were talking off air here, Mike. One thing that's kind of relevant to now, as you just mentioned, is kind of heat training and running in the heat. And I personally am a big fan of it. And if you can't get outside in the middle of the day and run in the heat, there are things that you can do. You can run inside on a treadmill and overdress, or you can just overdress outside too, in a cooler part of the day. And you can sauna, hot tub too, or whatever. But sauna is really good. I'm just a big fan of heat training. It's sort of the training du jour currently in the professional athlete world. A lot of people are doing it. I prescribe it with my athletes as well, and I personally do it even in the summer. I have an event coming up, and I'll be in the sauna. Like before we did the dam, you know, long ride, I would sauna every day for a week or two prior, and just try to adapt, because I think there's tons of performance benefits that come from it.
Yeah.
And I think one of them is that you learn how to acclimate. You acclimate to and learn how to handle the heat,
right,
rather than trying to cool off in a race when it is hot.
You're right.
You probably aren't going to be able to do that well enough to where you're going to have a good performance boost. But if you're acclimated to the heat, your performance won't suffer nearly as much as everybody else on a hot race day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a big benefit there. I know that there's some physiological adaptations that occur and advantages that happen from it. But I think as much as anything, it's just psychological with heat.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like, I see a lot of people before they even begin their run, if it's hot out, they're in a bad mental state.
right?
Like just, oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's so hot. Well, it's only going to be bad then if that's your attitude when you start.
Right.
But if you're used to it and you work through it and in training and you just practice it, you handle it that much better all the time. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying sometimes what's hard and what's easy is a decision.
Yeah, yeah.
you know?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah, I think that's so interesting, just the benefits of heat training. And I think, yeah, your attitude is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for anything, but especially with the heat, you know, like it's hard, you can manage it.
Yeah.
But I think you can train yourself to get through it better. But then also one other thing that I'm curious what your thought is training to manage the heat. So that's like dialing in your nutrition, electrolytes, hydration, even like ways to cool off, you know, to know what that feels like or know how often you have to do that. You know, that's something that we can train on in training to then bring that to race day and say, well, I know I have to dump water on myself every aid station or something like that.
Yeah, right? That's a good question. I think a lot of times with regards to ways to cool off in an event or even just out on a long training run or something, a lot of that depends on your location and what's available at the time, whether it's some creeks or a lake or a garden hose or something, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't have a lot of options and then you just have to learn how to deal with it, because you don't necessarily want to be wasting your own drinking water on trying to pour over your head or whatever. Certainly there's times when you do that, but I wouldn't want to be doing it a lot.
Yeah.
If you're in a location where there's not a lot of water available. So opportunity is one of them. And then, I think practice with it and knowing that if it is hot, I am going to have to hydrate more. I'm going to have to watch my electrolytes and be on top of that a little bit more. But I don't think it's that much more challenging than any normal long run or long ride, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be pretty well versed in being diligent about hydrating and eating anyway.
Sure. Good point.
You know, so I don't think it's such a big leap that, now it's 15 degrees warmer. It has to be, you're going to stay on top of it regardless. You're right.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about diminishing returns in terms of heat training? Like for instance, I know when it's really hot out, I'm suffering. And I it's hard to go faster and I end up going slower and my heart rate's higher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could just run harder every single run and maybe I'd get better. Right. But there's a diminishing return for that.
Yeah.
And do you think there's a diminishing return with heat training? Like, should we be specifically going every single day at the heat of the day wearing a hoodie? Are we shooting ourselves?
Can you overdo it, basically? Essentially,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All training is balancing stress. That's all it ever is. And a hotter run adds more stress. And so to balance that, then you need to go easier. You need to the next day, the next couple of days, you need to focus on recovery a little bit more post-run. Yeah, you can still train in a similar way. You have to understand, too, that your numbers on that training run, because we're just talking training here, not necessarily race.
Yeah.
Your numbers are going to be different, and that's going to be okay.
Right.
Because, again, like I say a lot of times, like your body doesn't know numbers. Your body knows stress.
Right.
So to your body, on a hot day and you run 9 minute pace for the average, on a normal day you run 8 minute pace for the average, to your body it's the same thing. Your brain might think, oh, I didn't run as well because I was 9 minute pace instead of 8 minute pace, but your body, it's the same. So that's the important thing. So try not to like measure and compare all the numbers and know that my heart rate was higher, my pace was slower. Yeah, probably was, but that's okay. You got the work in on that day. That's the important thing. That's all that really matters. And so, my wife and I, we've been chatting about this kind of similar thing recently, and I'm getting her slowly to like run even without a watch at all.
Oh, yeah.
On occasion, which has been good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just get zoned in on the numbers too easily.
Totally, yeah. Right. Yep. And then they just kind of create a little bit of judgment at times, or they certainly can.
For sure.
It can be hard for everybody. And I often say this, and I make it sound like shame on you for comparing, but we're all human and we all do it, and myself, I've done it as well.
Yeah.
So I hope I don't sound overly critical to people. That's not my point, but it's a downside to all the data that can happen.
So, yeah.
And then you have to know that in a hot, hot environment, the data is going to be skewed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I'd be curious what some of our listeners have to say about heat training. Do you do it? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you do it anyways, even if you hate it? Let's move right along to gear review. I was kind of grilling you, Tony, on gear review, like what have you been using for nutrition? I know you're doing quite a lot of biking, and in the future here looking at some bike trips. So what do you use for?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and this is somewhat bike related because of an event that took place about a month-ish ago. Just started right before Grandma's, the Tour Divide. Mm. And the record was set this year by a long shot, 11 days to ride 2,200 miles or whatever from Banff all the way down to the Mexican border.
Yeah.
So 11 days. So about 200 miles a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this gentleman, his name is Victor Bassani, he's from France, young kid. He really prioritized nutrition, but like food, food.
Okay.
Good food and rest. He stayed in a hotel every night. He didn't camp out like most people.
Sure.
So he got really good sleep, and he ate real food, really good food, and he had some gas station food, but he wasn't like surviving on gas station food. It really got me thinking about that, because I would think intuitively we all know, right? An apple is going to be better than a Hostess apple pie.
Right.
Right. Or an apple fritter.
Like general nutrition, day to day,
exactly.
Right? Yeah,
yeah. So, but even on race day or whatever, in an event itself, now it's not viable in a lot of cases with regards to road races and things like marathons and 5Ks.
Can you imagine seeing someone eat an apple?
Yeah,
at mile 22.
Well, you know, it's so funny. They do hand out bananas and they hand out orange slices, and I've seen strawberries. You see it out there,
I
feel like we are gravitating away from all of that. You don't even see it as much. You just see orange slices all the time.
Right, right.
And half, sliced bananas sliced in half.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. It just got me thinking about so things like Voyager coming up and these longer trail races with aid stations and tables set up, two or three tables and the 10x10 pop-up tents and everything. Mm-hmm. And you usually have an option of real food there.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's, say, a quesadilla
pretzels
maybe.
Or...
Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't even consider pretzels like to be real food.
Right.
I would say... Well, you'll see maybe peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or sometimes you'll see like a ham sandwich or something, turkey sandwich. It depends on the event. But anyway, I was just thinking about that. And here I still have a lot of like gels and Tailwind and that kind of stuff that I use all the time.
Yeah.
Especially on training rides. And you know, if I stop at a gas station, I usually get like, you know, an ice cream sandwich and some Oreo cakesters or something, you know.
You're right.
You find the junk food that you really like and you eat it. But it just, I don't know, I've been thinking about maybe I should shake that up a little bit if possible.
What are you thinking? Like make a sandwich or like?
Well, no, pasta? Not necessarily.
Like spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Like, no, I don't know. I know a lot of people too. Like in this is in the ultra running world. They'll do like some sort of burrito wrapped in tin foil and carry it in their pack or like pockets somewhere, and then. Maybe it was frozen to start, and then it, as they run, it starts to unthaw or it starts to thaw, and eat that.
Yeah,
I guess that's closer to real food, but I don't know. I just found it interesting that this kid that broke that record at the Tour Divide really took a little bit of a different approach.
Yeah,
just like gels and Gatorade
and the mix. Yeah. And I'm still on that side, you know. Yeah. I used to be on the real food and like pride myself on it, and then went the total opposite to water based only.
Yep.
And that's worked really well. Just great control. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some something to consider anyway. The big thing with the real food is it's harder to manage on a race day, I guess.
Right. Like, you don't have control on your macronutrients. Mm-hmm. It's just harder to deal with.
Yeah. Well, and carrying three apples with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next segment, what, thoughts on the run?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this one for me, it was almost kind of thoughts on the drive over here to your house, to the studio. They were talking about climate anxiety.
Yeah.
And people getting, I don't know, depression or just really anxious about climate change and the wildfires and heat and all these things that can happen.
Yeah.
And it made me think a little bit about, you know, obviously the wildfires have been, the smoke has been bad here this last week. We talked about the smoke last summer. It happened again.
Right.
Right. And so it seems like it's a thing that's happening more and more.
Right.
Where do you stand on, like, what is your nervousness level?
Yeah.
With regards to smoke?
I go back and forth big time. I mean, I don't honestly like consider myself as like an activist really. And, I feel like if I think too much about like the dread aspect of like, you know, climate change is real, we have to do something, you know, like I get kind of bogged down spiritually, I guess I'll say, like,
sure.
I would rather try to remain positive and like, what can we do to, I mean, I believe it's an issue, don't get me wrong, you know, like a major problem.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll be able to fix it with technology and human wit and, you know, ingenuity and stuff like that. But then again, it's like, I'm not doing any really. So, so I try to remain positive and like, well, at least I have an indoor hobby that I can spend this time where I have to be inside doing it. On the flip side, it's like, yeah, I get the dread aspect big time of just like, this is going to be every year now. Mm-hmm. Like July used to be like my favorite month and now it's me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what it looks like for us. And my personal stance is that I try to ignore it, to be completely honest. And that's probably a hot take for a lot of people. I think especially I have really good friends that are maybe more on the activism side of the spectrum and like to, I think, highlight highlight some of the problems that are going on in the whole world, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, if you don't talk about them, how is it going to change, right? Yeah. And for me personally, and I guess that it feels kind of weird even saying it, you know, like makes me uncomfortable even saying it, but I try to remain positive, I guess. I don't know. What's your stance?
Yeah. For me, obviously, climate change is a big thing and I get nervous about that
for the future, not only my own future, but the kids' future as well. But where I mostly get a little nervous is just long-term health aspects with the particles and particulates or whatever it's called, getting into your bloodstream and into your brain. Like, that seems so bizarre and so scary to me.
Yeah, all right.
Like, heat or extreme cold, like, that's one thing when I'm out there, fine. You can train for that a little bit. But, like, breathing in particulates that potentially could have negative effects 10, 20 years from now seems really concerning to me. That's where I start to get a little bit. And I don't consider myself to be kind of an alarmist.
Right, but I
feel like I'm leaning towards that a little bit in my own psyche with regards to wildfire. So what would make me feel better is if we can get more public information out there.
Yeah.
If just as the public can be educated more so that personally I can feel safer and just general. Like we mentioned before, it's sort of like COVID. There was so much uncertainty when COVID first happened. Like, what is it? What are the facts here? What's going on? It can be, and it felt a little scary for many people. To me, the wildfires is the same. Yeah.
I think sometimes on one hand, it's like, is my doctor in 30 years going to say, wait, were you out running in the wildfire season of 2026? Like, yeah, I was.
Yeah.
You know, on the flip side, it's like, okay, like, how is this that much worse than smoking a pack of cigarettes?
Yeah.
How is it that much worse?
Yeah.
And people smoke a pack of cigarettes every single day for 20 years, and then they stop, and the doctor can't tell that they were a cigarette smoker after 5 years or something.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes. Right. But, like, I think it's probably well documented that people's lungs and the human body's resilient and can kind of heal itself.
Right.
So it's like it seems like ridiculous that this isn't causing long-term health effects. But on the flip side, it's like, well, all these people smoking packs of a day.
And we are a healthy part of the population to begin with.
Right.
So we already have strong lungs and strong hearts. And so if we happen to breathe in some of these particulates, it probably seemingly has less of an impact on us than the average population.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
James, Kai's previous rundown guest, we were talking about this yesterday actually at the Hounds race, and you know, he's a scientist, he's a teacher, he's a science guy, and he was saying he was doing some research and getting it in your bloodstream, you know, the tiny particle size that bypasses the lungs, the thought that what that actually causes is like a whole body inflammation type response or whatever, which, like, you know, that's what even like training to some extent does. Like, you have inflammation. Sure. It's like a stress response, right? Mm-hmm. And so we talked about this already on this podcast. Like, it's a managing stress responses.
Yeah.
You know, is that, okay, it's probably like detrimental to training. And this is what I've tried to figure out is, like, where is this more harm than good? Because, like, me sitting on the couch all day and not training, like, that's harming my training. Yeah. If I run really easy or go for a walk and it's like 200 AQI, you know, like, not healthy.
Right.
But I'm getting exercise. Does it, like, neutralize and, like, even out? It's like, or if I'm running for 4 hours hard,
right,
you know, like a hard workout and it's 500 AQI and I'm hacking up a lung, is that even worse than sitting on the couch, you know?
True.
Yeah, or better, you know, because, like, the 50 miles coming up quick here, you know, like, that's what's going through my head. So
yeah.
It's hard to know. How do you know?
I know. That's what I don't like, is the not knowing part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to hear from our listeners as well. Like, what's your stance on the wildfire smoke?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how, like, are you handling it as an athlete?
Yeah. How are you handling it? Like, are you just, does it bother you? Mm-hmm. Does it not bother you?
Yeah.
You know, like, for me, it doesn't bother me so much.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get the itchy throat and stuff, but, like, yeah. That said, I did go for a 30-minute bike ride. I dropped my car off at the shop, and I biked back, and this was when it was like 800, 900.
Yeah.
And that was not nice at all.
Yeah.
I could feel it, but then also it was like, I shouldn't be breathing. So I was like trying to breathe through my nose, like slow.
Right.
And it felt like I was like couldn't breathe, or like asphyxiation or something.
Yeah.
Just, but I think that was in my head because I was like, don't breathe heavy. You know?
Right.
But then get this, I get home. It's like, oh, that smell. It was my shirt. It smelled like I was at a bonfire.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
What do my lungs look like if that's my shirt, you know?
So, right. Exactly.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird. It sounds like to me, I feel like it's kind of the new norm, sadly.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, foreseeable future.
How is it not? Yeah. Let's move on to what I'm into. We talked about this a little bit, off air, but, yeah, with the mile run, what did you think about that?
Yeah, the mile world record was broken. That was pretty cool. Josh Kerr, 3:42.66, I think, was his time.
That is moving.
It's faster than I can run a mile, pretty confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. 27-year-old record. You know, people have been trying to break that thing for a long time and kind of close.
Yeah.
But not very many people can get all that close. I mean, the average times like over all the fast guys is certainly coming down.
Mm.
And so they're kind of knocking on the door. It's a little bit like the marathon world record
right.
in that regard, although that one does get broken more often. But the sub-2 thing, I guess, it's more like that, where the guys were getting close to the sub-2.
Yeah.
And then finally, they got there, and the same thing with the mile. But the mile is trickier, though, because you just have to get it all right for 3:42.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to do. Yeah, so pretty cool. Yeah.
It's neat.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see that go down anytime soon or another 27 years?
It's hard to say. Yeah. I would say yeah. I mean, is Kerr the best in the world? Maybe. But the mile on any given day, anybody can win. And so I don't think he's far and away the best in the world. Nagus, Hocker, that German kid who came in third in that race, he looked pretty darn good. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Jakob after his Achilles surgery and if he can come back from that. I don't know. It feels like it's a long shot to be able to be a fast miler after this. But we'll see, given he's not old, but just given his age for the mile specifically, I can see 5 and 10K still he's going to be strong, but we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. Yeah.
Hmm.
Heck, honestly, Josh Kerr could probably beat it again though.
If you know what it takes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Let's wrap this up with some shout outs, Tony. What do you say?
Yeah. I have two quick shout outs. One to Mr. Eric Heen, who at age 74 finished the Kernow.
Yeah.
A couple, 3 weeks ago. Very impressive. The oldest person to finish this year. That's a really cool thing that he did. I tip my cap to that guy.
Yeah.
He's in my marathon training group, has been for years, and he just plugs along and just gets it done. And he's tough. He's tougher than he gives himself credit for, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of him for finishing that. Cool. And then also to Amy Broadmore, another podcast guest and one of my fellow assistant coaches at Duluth East who finished Western States.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. She got in, I think, kind of late, stayed trained for it in case she was able to get in. She got in, and then she just had a really good race there. I actually ran into her in the grocery store the next day.
Oh, wow.
Out of just a weird happenstance. I was like, hi, Amy.
It was 4 days, right? She had to.
Yeah.
It was like a whirlwind.
Yeah. So the impressive performance.
She wrote an awesome blog post. I mean, I'm a big fan. I have a slanted opinion on the matter as an avid race blogger, but I'm a big fan of race blogs.
Yeah.
And she wrote an awesome story on her OnwardMN.com race blog that I really, really enjoyed too.
Nice. So. I'll have to read that.
Yeah, you should. So awesome job, Amy, getting the finish there. I wanted to highlight Brian Cutts. Brian is out of Silver Bay. He and his partner, Jamie Blumentritt, Jamie owns a PT running specific business, and they do a ton of local races in the area. But Brian finished recently the Vol State. I think Laz Lake puts it on, like the Biggs Backyard Ultra guy. And I believe it's a 500K across Tennessee on the roads, which is just crazy. And Brian got the finish there. And he's a streaker as well, so he ran the next day. and I just saw on Strava with like macerated feet. So that's amazing to get that. And then also wanted to do a shout out for the Mediocre Trail Runners, Trail Running Club. Got a note from Jeff Burns about the a cheese wheel run. So the cheese wheel run is a very fun, unique kind of event idea. It's on July 30th, 6 p.m. at Chester Bowl. If you search Mediocre Trail Runners on Facebook or Strava, or go to mediocretrailrunners.run, the club, they bought a wheel of cheese and they're rolling it down the hill and chasing it. That's all you need to know. So regardless if you're there or not, if you it's going to be fun to see photos and things from the conclusion. So there's that. Otherwise, Tony, I think we are wrapped up for episode number 95, and we can get to our interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.